This is How Success Happens, where we talk to polar explorers, war correspondents, founders, ultramarathoners, authors, artists, and a range of other unique personalities to help you understand the capabilities behind how success happens.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
When I'm training for an ultramarathon, anywhere from 100 to 120 miles a week would be in my in my training cycle. Lots of miles.
You sold something like 250,000 books.
I'm the managing editor at entrepreneur.com and your host, Linda Lacina. Today, we're proud to have as our guest, Joy Mangano. How are you, Joy?
I'm fine. How are you? And I'm proud to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. Joy, as you know, is one of the most well-known female inventors of our time. And she's brought us some products that you probably have in your own house, such as the Miracle Mop and the Huggable Hanger. And she has sold nearly $3 billion in product across her career. She's also the inspiration for the 2015 movie Joy, with her part played by Jennifer Lawrence. She's here to talk about what inventing has taught her, about living her best life, and what you can do to unlock the best version of you. But first, a word from our sponsor. We'll start with a bit of trivia. In 1677, as I'm sure you all know, England passed something called the Statute of Frauds, which insisted that legal contracts must be in writing and signed. Well, that system then moved over to colonial America, and fast forward 3 centuries, we're all somehow doing the same thing on repeat. But at least there's now a better way to do it. Hallelujah. It's called SignEasy. It's a simple, secure system for your business to digitally sign and distribute documents. You can scan and sign a document, have the system pass that document around to multiple people in whatever sequence you want, track the progress of that document, and even send reminders to the stragglers, the people who still need to put pen to paper, finger to screen. Can you imagine trying to explain this to the Parliament of 1677? Anyway, we today just call it the normal course of business. To get started for free, go to getsigneasy.com/podcast. How are you, Joy?
I'm fine.
So why don't we just have a level playing field, right? Not everybody might know all of the things that you've invented. You've invented hundreds of things. So Beyond the Huggable Hanger and the Miracle Mop, what else you got?
Oh, well, there's many things. I mean, it was from a product, Better Beauty Cases, that you can use for everything to store and organize yourself. I have vacuums. I have my little steamer. I have a luggage that is made of what bulletproof vests are made out of. And I've reinvented the wheel. You know how people say, oh, you don't have to reinvent the wheel with something, not to get carried away. But I did. I reinvented the wheel with luggage. I have many products, Forever Fragrant, and we will be changing an industry next year with a brand new product, 10 years of science. Yeah. So I guess my inventing never stops. I'm very proud. And really why? It's because life doesn't stop. I go through life, looking at how to make somebody's day a little easier, make the job a little quicker, and improve upon our surroundings. And it just comes organically to me. I look at life through product.
That's amazing. Amazing. And so you've got a new book out, Inventing Joy, Dare to Build a Brave and Creative Life.
Yeah.
And so why was it important to write the book?
Well, when the movie came out, I've been standing in front of, 100 million homes for 25 years every month and talking about products. And when the movie Joy came out, Hollywood came to me and said, your life is so amazing. We want to make a movie. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. But I said, when it happens, it'll happen. And it happened. It was incredible. So as you say, Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, Robert De Niro, what a Hollywood family.
Sure.
But a movie can only portray so much, right?
Sure.
So my life, this book, Inventing Joy, is the journey that is, thrilling, exciting, sexy, comedic, heartbreaking, heartwarming. It's a roller coaster ride along the way of to where I am today. And at the end, after you read it, you will have a complete mind shift on how to look at your business, your career, yourself, your family. You'll rediscover yourself. And I couldn't be prouder to be able to do that for so many people who might feel stuck in business,
sure,
in their own lives with themselves, that are saying, you know, this is my life. There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah. They're 100% wrong.
Yeah.
They can.
Sure. No, absolutely. I think there's a really interesting idea that you have, that you introduced at the beginning and you carry it through throughout the book. And it's the idea that everything is a product. I think that's fascinating. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So, and, you know, obviously I'm a product inventor, but this goes way beyond that. I've always viewed life as a product, but, you know, or through product.
Sure.
Right. And people think that, you know, that's confined, that their voice doesn't matter. Sometimes they forget that it does matter. They are the ultimate consumer everywhere. So if you are home and your coffee pot is not working anymore, your coffee machine, you're either going to fix it or get a new one if you want to drink coffee, right? Well, in our lives, if our career, if our business is not working, if our career is not working for us and we're not waking up passionate about it, if our family's not working, you know, we have teenagers and we say they're out of control, or you've retired and you feel like, you know, what am I going to do with life? I'm not working anymore. Yeah. You have the right. You have to look into yourself, rediscover yourself, and say, what do I have to do to make that product, whether it's a relationship, whether it's family, whether it's career path, hobby, anything? What do I want to do to make that work so I can be living a very joyful, passionate life every day? And we can, you know, each and every one of us, no matter who we are or where we're from, have the power to change our world and the world.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting idea too, because the idea of you being a consumer of your own life, right?
Exactly.
You know, I think it's really helps change the conversation a little bit, because it takes the fear out of it. When something happens to us as a consumer, we say, well, I'm just going to ask. Starbucks got my order wrong. I'm just going to make them redo it. We don't think twice about it. But if we're having a problem with a person or something,
right,
we think,
I don't want to make waves, right?
I don't want to make waves. Or, you know, gosh, this will never change. I mean, all these little static points in our life where we feel like, I don't know how to move forward. You know, it takes maybe the fear out of that.
That's a great point. And, you know, we're not talking about aggression either.
Not necessarily
aggression, but it is. The key thing is that we forget we have the right to have a voice. We have the right to have an opinion as a consumer. We are a consumer of everything, and as you said, of our own lives. And if you say nothing, you're going to have a 0% chance to fix it then, right?
Yes.
And if you say something and you view yourself as empowered enough to have an opinion, as you say, if somebody doesn't make your coffee correctly,
it's
not what I ordered. Can I get the right one? There's not anything wrong in that. You have the right to get what you asked for, what you paid for. And in life, it's almost incumbent upon us to make the best version of us. And therefore, it makes the best version of everyone around us, right? Because if you're passionate about your life, it just infiltrates into everybody around you. If you're passionate about what you do as an entrepreneur, as in business or in your career, everybody feeds off of that. They can see you love that, and they know that that's a true organic thing for you.
Yeah. And so folks are going to be listening to this, right? And they're going to start with the, oh yeah, but, right? There's some reason why their experience is maybe special, unique. And they've got the static, they're stuck, right? What is holding them back?
Right. Nothing except themselves, right?
Of course,
and this book, in Inventing Joy, I go into it so much, because you're right. The biggest factor is that fear factor, right? Is the obstacle. We think there are obstacles, and the obstacles stop us, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and when we're younger as children, we don't have that same fear factor, believe it or not. If you think back at yourself as a young person, anybody, that, you know, you you're willing to try things. You're willing to try to put together something. Even if it falls apart, you're going to try again, right? You're willing to take that bicycle and go, you know, over the little ditch or something like that. And as adults, we have that voice in us that says, no, you know, no. What'll people say? That's a shift from what you're doing. That's not what you do. That's not what you were raised to do. And we have to, tamp that voice down, that fear that says, you know, and get rid of the obstacles, because life is very fluid and it's a path that we make. It's not a path that's made for us. We make our own path and it will shift all the time. And if you're open to those shifts and you go with them, I found that it is where I'm the most successful, when I'm open to those shifts. Well, sometimes I'll start out inventing something, designing something, and at the end, it's not what I had in mind in the beginning, but it's always better.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's so great. There's some stories in there that I had read for the first time, right? That you had applied and were accepted to Harvard, for instance, you know, and you stayed back. You stayed back to be with your mom, you know. Can you talk a little bit about that decision? That's a huge decision, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, as a young girl, you know, living, growing up where my parents' marriage wasn't optimal.
Sure.
And my mother never really, she was raised, my grandmother and my great grandmother were from Italy, and it was, and I was raised the same way. You know, you grow up, I used to cook every Sunday with them, and you grow up, you get married, you have children, and you cook. And you cook. And you cook. Or have more children.
Of course, yeah.
Which is something, obviously, my greatest achievement in life, three children. But, you know, so watching that, and then having at that time many years ago, watching them go through a divorce and how it was devastating my mother, because she really never discovered herself truly, right?
Sure.
And it just left her in this complete abyss. And so the decision was a family decision, right? Which is, you know, I'm needed here by my family. All my life decisions and career involve somewhat my family, because then I became a mother and I had three little children. And what am I going to do as a single mom with three little children?
Sure.
So, you know, so the choices we make vary. Somebody else, you know, might not have had that devotion to family and gone off to school. That was not me. And so I intermixed them. I made sure she was taken care of. I made sure I went to college.
Sure.
And so it was a shift in my path. But along the way, it took me to a place where I was meant to be, right?
Sure.
And I met my husband there. So, you know, that's, and had three children. So maybe that shift of college was meant to be, right?
Well, of course. And I think all of us have these experiences where like, well, gosh, if I had never done that, I would never want to not have met my partner. I would never have wanted to not have this experience. I wonder though, too. So you choose to stay home and give your mom that support, you know? Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting is that, your father, does sort of come back into the picture, you know. And so does that make you look at sort of opportunity a little bit differently, right? Here was this opportunity that you had, right? Mm-hmm. You said, you know what, I can still go to college, but I'll stay with my mom, give her that support because I don't want her to be alone. And then you learned that, well, you know, your mom and your dad's relationship was always going to be, you know, maybe sort of different, right? And so, does that make you sort of think about opportunity maybe a little bit differently, that like, hey, I can't control what all these people are doing, right? I can only control what I can do.
Right. So I first of all, I think you make your opportunity, and without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that anybody should feel like they've missed opportunities, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I didn't, I certainly didn't feel that, because I believe if you keep moving forward, you will create, if you feel in life that there was an opportunity that you didn't capitalize on, and you are always creating opportunity, if you keep moving forward, you are creating new opportunities in other ways. And you know, it's the same similar kind of thought about people don't want to do things because they're afraid of failing.
Yeah.
And I say that failure fills up your basket. You know, I had great, learning lessons from, the things that didn't work for me in life and put perspective. And I think that's the same thing with opportunity. You just have to open the, it opens doors to other opportunities, and failure opens doors to other, to really having context to success.
Sure, sure. No, absolutely. But let's get to a point where you had to make a really, really tough decision, right? Mm-hmm. And so after 10 years of working with the QVC, you decide to join Home Shopping Network, right? And it was a really difficult decision because you had loyalties there, you had people that had helped you, you had teams and things like that. And so how do you go about weighing your options? I think that such a pivotal moment would paralyze somebody else, right?
Yes.
What did you do in those moments?
Yeah, sure. So I was always a small business, privately owned.
Of course.
And with that comes dealing with the banks and, your financial situation is always on the line because in my particular business, it was each product with my business was at risk with each launch of each new product.
Yeah.
Right. So, when Barry Diller came to me, he at the time owned HSN, Expedia.com, Ticketmaster, bunch of businesses, brilliant man, amazing. And said, I want you to come to HSN. What that proposition was to me as a business person was what made my business decision was, first I looked at the loyalties to obviously where I was, and I am at first a loyal person in all forms of life. But at the same time, the opportunity that was afforded to me as an inventor, a product developer, was enormous because Barry said, you'll have all these resources. You'll be part of a bigger company now. And I actually went back to QVC and said, here's the offer. Do you guys want to do that? And they were not in that mind frame. So for me, looking at my passion of getting more products in more hands, to help people's lives, it's always what drove me is to make life a little bit easier, a little more innovative for people. This gave me a bigger platform in the way of development of product and getting more product out faster, not being in business myself, but being part of a bigger machinery was really the driving force so that I could do more of what I love to do.
And
I think a lot of people have, come to that, have to make choices in business when it comes to if you can enhance your business to do more of it, and private business is different than being part of a bigger company, right? And so there are different options you always have to weigh with that.
Yeah, yeah. And it comes from just sort of looking, where is the growth going to come from?
Yes, yes. Well, absolutely. There's no question that vision of growth was much different than the vision of growth if I stayed where I was.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. And when you are deciding what sort of like invention to pursue or maybe new business opportunity, what are maybe the key things that you're always maybe weighing? So if you're going to make that filter, what's Joy's filter?
Right. So the first thing is there a need for innovation in something, right?
Yeah.
So I'll give you a real example with luggage, right? Yeah. I travel all the time and I've been making luggage for 10 years. But for the past 4 years, from 4 years ago, I was sitting somewhere and somebody showed me a golf ball on a stick that was, part of inside a PVC pipe. And they're like, I don't know what this is. And I thought about that. And eventually, to make a very long story short, it became this new low profile luggage wheel because I discovered that 90% of luggage damage are the wheels breaking off because they stick out, right? So I invented the spin ball wheel, designed the spin ball wheel that is now revolutionizing luggage. And not only is it low profile, right? So here's my filter. What are the features and benefits? It outlasts in durability and it can't break off. Yeah. So your luggage is now not disposable, right?
Yeah.
And in addition to that, it gives you 20% more packing space. Now, who doesn't need 20% more packing space, especially if it's a carry-on?
Sure.
So, what my filter is, does it really make a difference? Is it innovative, and is it innovation that's meaningful, yeah. right? It's not just innovation for innovation's sake. Is it really going to make a product that much more desirable in all forms for somebody, for the consumer?
Sure, sure. And I think also key for that is that this was an innovation that still kind of took 3 years to get to market,
right?
And I think that's a key thing, that when people see stories like yours or stories of any sort of innovator, they think, well, they just instantly became that person, right?
That's
that
right.
they don't think about the hard years of development, the tinkering and things like that. What's important to remember about the long journey to innovation?
Right. Well, I think what's important is some things are not as long a journey as others. So I couldn't have made that wheel back when I was making the Miracle Mop, right?
Yeah.
Because this is a whole, you know, it was such a long time.
Sure.
So you have to keep it in perspective.
Of course.
And today there are so many ways and companies and people, even here at HSN where I am, you know, we have something called American Dreams, and we're looking for new product and new ideas and new invention. So you have to look at what anything in business and see, you know, you don't want to jump off a cliff and have to mortgage your house and so on. And so you have to be realistic about things. And if it's something, you know, there are a lot of ideas that are simple, you know, a velvety slim hanger, right, is very different than a piece of luggage that's bulletproof and has spinball wheels on it, right?
Yeah.
So that takes 3 years to you know, design and engineer. So I think, you know, I think that you have to put anything in business in perspective. And if you are able to sustain the timeline, you know, and you, but you can't let anything stop you. You have to start. And even if you're not an expert at that, you have to start it and look into it and start the process, because you'll learn that something may take way less time.
Sure.
Somebody may be interested in it with you. There are so many avenues you can go down in business with ideas. And when I say an idea, it's not just a physical piece of luggage or a wheel. It could be a bakery shop. It could be an app. It could be anything today, right?
Of course, of course, of course. I think we've got time for one last question,
Sure.
Joy. So you are going to be going on a tour of, it's 10 cities in 8 days? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. 10 cities in 8 days.
A book tour with Inventing Joy.
Yes,
exactly.
Exactly. And it's a bus tour. You're going to be meeting all kinds of people that, you know you through your products, know you through your, you know, the story Joy, you know, now we'll know you through your book. What is the one thing that you really want those folks to sort of take away from your message, from your book? Like, what's the one thing you want them to know?
Absolutely. That they can, everybody can reinvent their lives. Mm. Everybody can, it's never too late. No matter how young or old you are, you absolutely can take and rediscover yourself and your life. It's not, this book will give you the tools to do that for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, that's all the time we have.
Okay.
But thank you so much, Joy, for
thank
all this. It's been amazing.
It's real. And the book is amazing.
Wonderful.
You'll think it's not true, but it's all true.
Good to know. And before we go, I have some short announcements for our listeners. How Success Happens comes out weekly. To make sure you don't miss a single episode, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud, or whatever you get your favorite podcasts. And don't be afraid to leave us a review. It helps us improve and reach more listeners just like you. For more stories like this one on the mindset you need to start and grow a business, go to entrepreneur.com. And to let me know what you think about the show or anything else, find me on Twitter at Linda Lacina. That's the @ L-I-N-D-A-L-A-C-I-N-A. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week.